In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord is in Gentile territory. Just before our gospel reading, just a couple days prior to that, he left the geographical borders of Israel. And going north, he goes to what we would call modern-day Lebanon, to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And there, he tussled with a woman whom he called a dog, and yet he healed her daughter. And he then intentionally skirts around the northern part of his own nation. He goes to the wrong side of the Sea of Galilee. He avoids his own countrymen and he stays in Gentile territory where they then bring to him a deaf mute. And after healing that man, next, if you read through the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Matthew, next, he's going to then feed 4,000 of those heathen in that Gentile area. But that's the thing. We really need to ask, are they heathen? Now, heathen, of course, is a very derogatory term in our day, but and it has come to mean something along the lines of being uncultured or uncivilized, that kind of thing. But basically, the term originally means someone who does not believe your religion. And so, a Jewish person could easily call those Gentiles heathen because they didn't believe their religion, and it wouldn't necessarily be derogatory, although, of course, many Jews in Jesus' day would definitely mean it in a derogatory sense. But these Gentiles, of course, were not born Jews, but were they unbelievers? Do they believe in Jesus? They seem to know that he has divine power. And whether they realize it or not, they recognize his status as God with their final statement in today's gospel, when they say, he has done all things well. You might remember, first chapter of the Bible, when God created the world, he looked at what he made and he said, it is good. He had done it very well. So here is Jesus healing this mute and deaf man, fulfilling countless prophecies that he would do exactly that, that they would then be able to hear. And while he physically opens the ears of the deaf man and loosens his bound tongue, more miraculously, he opens the ears of unbelievers and loosens their tongues so that they would praise him in faith. Faith in our Lord and our God, our Savior, for his mighty works, which are done very well. And so these Gentiles, even though they're not Jews, they are heathen no longer. They are believers at this moment. In fact, though our Lord tells them to be quiet and to tell no one about what he has done, they can't help talking about it. They are astounded. It is beyond belief. They could not believe it if they had not seen it with their own eyes. And this, of course, is the nature of Christian faith. Christian faith is incredible. For I cannot by my own reason and strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. Not because the Christian religion is not true. Not because it isn't entirely grounded in fact, the Christian faith is the only religion in the world that is based entirely on fact and not on fiction or mythology. The Bible, Christianity's holy book, is the only holy book in all the world whose stories can be verified by outside sources, even by hostile sources. In fact, no book or document in all of history is as certain and as well documented as the Bible is. Both the historical details of the Bible and even the transmission of the text down through the centuries are quite certain. The geographical details of the Bible are beyond doubt. And this, therefore, all the stories and happenings of the Bible, they happened in the real world. The accounts are, therefore, genuine eyewitnesses grounded in fact. So this is not some mythology that we're playing with. It's not some kind of plastic voodoo spiritual game, which is to say, as our society would say, not real. It is real. It's based in fact. It's built on evidence. And that certainty of what the Bible says is what makes the Bible so incredible in the true sense of that word, as in uncredible or beyond believing that it's credible. Because it's not merely written by men who made this stuff up. It is a testament of what God Himself did. And that seems incredible to us. It's scandalous to the world that we live in, because we live in a time where we like to cherry pick on the buffet of religion what we will believe and what we won't believe. After all, we say, the Bible's just written by men, and men lie. No. The Bible is a book written by men. Men who saw the triune God do these things that they wrote about. They wouldn't have believed those things if they had not seen it themselves. In fact, even though they saw it, they were astounded and had difficulty believing what they had seen. It was the Holy Spirit working in them who enabled them to believe and accept what they had seen. For they had seen the God who breaks the laws of physics. He does what no one does. He heals. He makes alive. He fixes what is broken and what is unfixable. He does all things well. It is good. And so His Word, the Bible, is inspired by Him. It is watched over by Him. It is preserved by Him. So that we who cannot believe such incredible things, things that do not happen in this dreary, awful world, we might actually believe, even though we have not seen these things for ourselves. Now, in the world that we live in, we're much worried about what's going on, aren't we? About the trends that we see. Things have changed so dramatically in the days of our lives. Morality has changed. And of course, there's a handful of things that are better, but for the most part, so much is worse. Belief has changed. Where we once saw a society where most people seemed to be believers, or at least occasional churchgoers, now hardly anyone goes to church. No one seems to believe. And yet, dear friends, this need not concern us. These things that you and I believe, they are certain. They are true. And though people deny them to their own harm, the truth cannot be suppressed indefinitely. Just as one example of the kinds of things that are afoot in the world, the seemingly unassailable fortress of Islam is under attack. Not by terrorists, not by armies, but by the very Word of God, which opens unbelieving ears. One example of that is in Germany. You may have heard me, especially people in Bible study may have heard me give this example. In Germany, where hardly any of the native population believe any longer. You know, the seedbed, the home of Lutheranism historically, hardly anybody there in that population believes the Christian faith any longer. But there, in Germany, where there's a huge Persian or Iranian community, the Muslims there of that community are becoming Christians by the hundreds. And by the thousands. The fastest growing congregation in all of Germany is an independent Lutheran church that we are in fellowship with, that I attended just maybe a month before I became your pastor. And that congregation, many of the people sitting in the pews there are not Germans, they are Persians and Russians. And so in Germany, as much as 50% of the young Persian community there sympathize with Christianity or even consider themselves Christians, while in Iran itself, in their homeland, more than 20% of the populace listens to Christian radio programs on satellite radio, and they secretly read Bibles that have been smuggled into that oppressive regime there, into that country. And now, Lutheran Hour Ministries, that some of you know of and support and listen to, Lutheran Hour Ministries broadcasts from the island of Cyprus in the Mediterranean Sea into 11 other Middle Eastern countries, so that hundreds of thousands of Muslims every year hear of the death of God's Son, Jesus Christ, for their sins, a death which is incredible, both because God would undergo death, but moreover, because that death blots out your sins before God Almighty. It cleanses you. It makes you His child. And there's no uncertainty as to whether God will be merciful to you. You see, in Islam, Islam is all about the belief that God is merciful so long as you submit to Him. The question, though, that is in every Muslim's mind, just as it's in any person's mind who tries to satisfy God by their submission to God or their faithfulness to God, the question is, have I submitted enough? Will God be merciful to me? And so for Muslims to hear this message that God is merciful to them in Jesus Christ, apart from their own works, is profound. And to hear that even though you will die, that you shall be raised just as the incorruptible Son was raised to new life, that you shall be in the paradise of heaven where all things are good with your Savior and with His loving Father who through baptism becomes your Father. That He is a mighty and dreadfully powerful King, Muslims know full well. But that you need not be afraid of Him, for He is your loving Father, is the gospel that changes their lives. And these claims through Jesus Christ are unbelievable, except by the power of the Holy Spirit who created faith in people in you when you were baptized. And He sustains that faith in you when you hear His word and when you eat and drink His new covenant of the forgiveness of sins into yourself. And so we worry about the world around us because we forget that God has all things in control. That though our lives are filled with much turmoil and mayhem, though we have crosses to bear, He who carried our sins to the cross will lift us up in due time. He is ordering all things for your good. Moreover, He prays for you to the Father with deep groans that words cannot express. He knows your need. And He commands you to pray to your Father, not because the Father doesn't already know what you need, but because He wants to impart to you even greater peace by you casting your burdens on Him. And so He took hold of that mute man's tongue. In our translation, it said He touched the tongue. The word there in the text actually says He grasped the tongue. He grabbed that guy's tongue. You know that picture you see in the cartoons where somebody yanks the tongue out of somebody's mouth? That's the image you get when you read it. He grabbed that man's tongue. He took hold of it firmly. He took his affliction onto Himself and He carried it to the cross to do away with it. He thrust His fingers into that deaf man's ears, punching through the sin which blocks up our hearts and minds and souls, preventing us from hearing Him. And so you and I, we are firmly in His hands, those hands on which He carved you when He allowed those spikes to be driven through His flesh. He will not forget you. You are His. You belong to Him. He has done all things well, including saving you and ordering all things for your salvation in this uncertain and wicked world. This is most certainly true. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace which passes all understanding may keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.